This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we're as Five Fadjects. And this week's episode, we're going to talk to you about a new place that opened up in downtown Oshawa. It's only about 2 months old, and it's called Stuttering John's. We were turned on to this place by one of my friends from high school, Mark Watton, and it turns out that it's owned by another one of my associates from high school named John Beauville.
So we didn't mean to go out tonight to find a place to review. Sometimes when we go out, we have intentions of, let's see if this place is pretty cool so we can talk about it on the podcast. This was just one of those, well, we're hungry. You heard it was good. You manipulated me by leaving the menu up on the computer one day. And I said, that looks great. We should go. And we just stumbled into a really awesome find in downtown Oshawa. It had totally reminded me of some place that should have been or would have been downtown in Orillia when we lived there.
Yeah.
And for people who've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know we started doing this when we lived in Orillia, Ontario. And one of the reasons we started because we were just shocked at how many awesome little locally owned mom-and-pop places there were to eat downtown within like a square mile of itself in a tiny little town.
All hail the independent revolution.
Exactly. And a lot of those places were using fresh ingredients, local ingredients. They were doing a lot of things the right way, cooking it from scratch. And Stuttering John's is the kind of place that would totally fit in on Mississauga Street up in Orillia. It's like that kind of restaurant. When we walked into the place, it looks kind of like an upscale cafe or upscale bistro.
It's got like the serious mood lighting and the art on the wall that's for sale.
Mm-hmm. Don't let that scare you away.
The prices are totally blue-collar.
First off, the menu is solid barbecue. I mean, there are some other things that aren't all barbecue, but it really, they emphasize that they smoke their own meat, and they make their own sauces, and it's like hearty, like comfort food, almost.
Yeah, everything made from scratch, even the French fries.
Yeah.
You can get them out of a bag, but why? They're actually called chip truck fries on the menu.
And they have a little picture of a chip truck next to it, which makes me happy. That's awesome. So the prices on the menu are disgustingly reasonable. You walk into that place, you would expect it to be a lot more, especially for what you ends up on your plate as well. You're looking at for sandwiches, it's $10 for a sandwich. Appetizers are $6, and the entrees are $16. And one of the things I really like is how he organized his menu.
Yeah.
Where it's just, these are the categories, these are the prices for the category. That's really cool.
Yeah. It is really nice setup. And you're going to get great quality food at a great price.
Mm-hmm. So we sat down, and Sheila started chatting with the owner since she realized, oh, I know you.
Yeah.
And we decided to go with an appetizer. We had the pear and brie flatbread. So what'd you think?
Well, I wasn't really sure what it was going to look like. There's kind of a close-up picture on the menu.
It's like, even though there's a picture on the menu?
Well, it's kind of close-up. You didn't really realize what shape it's going to be. But
yeah.
It's
like a pita flatbread.
It's a pita with the topping, which is an ingenious use of a pita, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the brie and the pear were great together.
Oh,
they're awesome. The sautéed onions, perfect.
It was delicious. The caramelized onion, I've become less skittish of caramelized onions with sweet things since we went to Out Lounge and had the baked brie there. And this, as soon as we saw it, I said, okay, I want an appetizer. I'm cool with this. What do you think? She threw the flatbread out as a counter offer as well. And it was just awesome. It had that hint of sweetness with it because of the pear and the topping they had brushed on. But the brie counteracted that, and the bread was kind of soaking it in between. And it was almost like a dessert, but it was like something acceptable to have as an appetizer. It was awesome.
What I liked about it is the brie gave you a little bit of tang and a little bit of tiny bit of saltiness to balance out the sweetness of the pear and the sweetness of the caramelized onions. Really good stuff.
And I also really liked that the brie wasn't... This sounds so lame to say it. It wasn't overly brie-y.
It was small slices.
It wasn't a chock full of rind either.
Yeah, it was...
And it was nice and gooey. I mean, when you pulled it apart, because they cut it pizza style, when you pulled a slice out, the brie... You had, like, mozzarella strings from the brie. You had the cheese string going on, which was just cool. It looked delicious, and it was delicious. We did not get a picture of it because we devoured it too quickly.
It evaporated. We were at the table.
We were both hungrier than we thought. But definitely recommend it. They have some other neat-looking appetizers on the menu. They have, like, bruschetta and some salads. But they have, like, I don't know. It's just a roast pumpkin salad. And that caught my eye because also on their dessert menu, they have something I want to go back to check out sometime. They have pumpkin crepes.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see a lot of pumpkin on any menu, period.
Yeah.
But to see it, a roast pumpkin salad and then pumpkin crepes, I'm like, oh, cool.
Hmm.
So, anyway.
Pumpkin's one of those things that seems to be coming back, like where it's people aren't just using it in desserts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually being given a good nod as a squash.
Yeah, and exactly. That just was something that if I were there just by myself and I wanted something light to eat, I'd probably go with, like, the roast pumpkin salad and a dessert. Because that just looks awesome.
If you go on Tuesdays, you can get the $2 chip truck fries.
Yes, they have a toonie special on Tuesdays. $2 toonie chip truck fries. You can get them to go or you can stay in and have some fries. And we might as well just skip to the fries. The fries are awesome.
Yeah, they're the bomb.
They're like, really good chip truck fries, and they put this, like, Cajun seasoning on it that's just a little bit salty, a little bit smoky, awesomely delicious. It goes perfect with the chips, or the fries. And they're just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So Sheila ended up getting the bourbon mustard pea mel sandwich.
That mustard was awesome. Good stuff. It was a little bit sweet, a little bit tangy. Definitely not just your normal French's mustard. The pea mel was nice. Instead of being big, huge pork chops like you get at the Rainbow, which can be hard to eat on a sandwich, it was a stack of thinly sliced pea mel, which makes it a little bit easier texture to bite and eat if it's on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. It was lean, too.
Yeah.
I did snag a bite of her sandwich, and I was impressed with how lean the pea mel was. And you're right. When it's sliced more thinly like that, it is a lot more manageable on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons I shy away from a pea mel sandwich most of the time when we go out, is because sometimes it's just... it's too thick of a cut of a meat on a bun for me. It's it's like eating a pork chop on a bun. You're right. And that was perfect. Their buns, it was a nice Italian bun, Italian bread bun.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome bun. Soft, but, like, fresh and...
yeah.
Oh, it had that good doughy, fresh bread taste to it. I'd say I'm illiterate, but I'm not that I can't read. It's just I can't talk tonight. I'm just overwhelmed with it. It was so delicious.
We have to make it interesting than just 50 minutes of us saying, it was delicious.
Yes. But it was, again, I was excited because it was kind of one of those random things. And we do try to plan things out on the podcast. We do try to say, okay, we want to go check this out and read this and talk about it and do this. And whenever something interrupts what our scheduled flow is, it's so we can run into these little places and maybe get a couple people to turn around and say, hey, you know, I might check that out because it does sound good. And otherwise, I might walk past it. And it's also, like, heartening because it's part of the revival of downtown Oshawa. There's a lot of little places popping up now. And I love that because I love a downtown scene.
Yeah. Oshawa really, the downtown scene did go downhill quite a bit. I wasn't in town for it to actually get as low as it could have been. But with the college buying up property and opening up campuses downtown, that's really revitalizing.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are going down there, which means there's less of the disreputable folks hanging around because more people are going to be there shopping and eating and going out. So you got to check out downtown Oshawa. There's all kinds of things going on down there now.
It's really starting to pop down there.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of new places opening up. I'm excited to check out some more of them. John said that there were two more opening up around that area too.
Mm-hmm.
Two new restaurants, so I definitely want to give those a shot. Now, we've totally delayed it. We're going to talk about my sandwich.
The epic sandwich!
Oh my god. I ordered the pulled pork. And they do smoke all their own meat there, and it shows.
They got a wood fire oven out back.
And dear god, was it good. It came out in the same kind of bun as Sheila's. It was this nice, long, Italian bread bun with a ridiculous serving of pulled pork on it. And then it had a really nice coleslaw on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a creamy coleslaw, but it wasn't the disgusting, like, church picnic coleslaw.
It wasn't scoopable.
Yes. It was like a dry creamy. It wasn't overly creamy. So it went really well with the sandwich. They put their own sweet barbecue sauce on it.
Mm-hmm.
That sweet's almost going to lead you in the wrong direction, because when I hear sweet barbecue sauce, I think of something that's almost overly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
To the
something
point
with a lot of honey in it, or...
yeah.
Really, really sugary.
And to the point where you would think it would hide the flavors of everything else. And that kind of... I didn't really pay much attention to it, but in retrospect, when I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, sweet. And I was prepared for one thing, and what came out was just this amazingly slightly sweet, tangy barbecue sauce that mixed perfectly with the pulled pork and the juices that were in the pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a juicy pulled pork. And it's very easy with pulled pork for it to get dry. You kind of have to know what you're doing and be on it and make sure you're mixing it properly. And this was just dead on. It wasn't tough. It wasn't stringy. It was soft and tender. Melt in your mouth good. This was as good as, if not better, than the place we found in South Carolina.
That is a bold statement.
That pulled pork, his pulled pork is that good. I mean, it was
up
there.
Well, he wants to kind of focus more on the Southern style barbecue, so.
Yeah. And then to top it all off, as you're eating this massive pulled pork sandwich and going, oh my God, it's so good, nom nom nom, you start to get bites of the crunchy coleslaw with it. And that adds another texture that's perfect for it. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through my sandwich, I looked down at my plate and these awesome chip truck fries and this awesome sandwich with coleslaw on it. And the hamster in my head finally got on the wheel and said, hey, little girl from Pittsburgh, you know what you have to do. So then I threw a few French fries on the sandwich and had it permani style. And it was awesome. And that just, I'm grinning ear to ear just thinking about it. Because anytime I can have an awesome sandwich that already has the coleslaw on it and I could throw a few French fries on it, how can I not be happy?
Yeah.
So, excellent sandwich. Definitely recommend it. After having that in your Pimo, I wouldn't hesitate to try anything on the menu.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about my side, too.
I had
really great baked beans. You could tell that it was the kind, not out of a can, that you actually soaked overnight and slow cooked on either the stove or in the oven.
She wanted to just pour them on a bun or on a sandwich and do a bean sandwich. But, oh, really good food. You can't touch the prices. They're great. And one of the things that John was talking about when him and Sheila were chattering away is that he wants to redo the inside a little bit. He did all the work inside himself.
Mm-hmm.
He built pretty much everything. Like, the bar, he said, was 80% recycled materials. He did that all himself, and it's really nice.
He even installed the hoods and everything himself.
Yeah. But he said, you know, I want the interior to match the food. So he's looking to go with a more rustic look inside and focus more on the barbecue and the Southern style food, which I think is awesome too.
Yeah.
We've missed Southern style food from living
further south. I know we weren't in the deep south, but we were definitely south of the Mason-Dixon line.
And we were just far enough south that we could easily dip into any local place and find some good barbecue. It wasn't hard to do. So that's something I know we've both missed up here. And to find a place like this downtown with great prices, great food, and he's doing it all with fresh ingredients. He's not using mixed anything.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Everything's made from scratch. Everything's fresh and tastes great.
Yeah, he's not using, like, you know, barbecue sauce out of a jar or something. That's awesome. And it's just, it's happy because it's locally owned. You're supporting a local business. It's not a chain. It's just, yay. And they do catering, too. So if you're looking to do an event or something, you should check out their website. It's stutteringjohnbistro.com. And see, you know, what he can do for you for an event that you want to do, because the food's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you wanted to add? I know it's a short one, but...
I don't think so.
It can't all be hour-long diatribes.
I can't wait to go back.
I can't wait to go back either. I totally want to go back and just get some dessert sometime.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, we should talk about portion size and payments. They take a credit card, and they take, obviously, cash, and they take debit as well. And portion size, using the classic Patrick and Aaron scale of 1 to 5, where 5 means our vacuum cleaner friends would actually be full, and 3 is a normal size portion. I would say this was like a 4 portion size.
Mm.
At least mine was, because you had the hearty helping of fries, you had the monster sandwich.
Yeah.
That was a big sandwich. And yeah, I was stuffed.
I put it at a solid 4. Yeah.
Yeah, we probably didn't need the appetizer.
Yeah.
But again, you don't know. You go someplace new, you have no idea what you're getting into size-wise. And the appetizer was delicious. So... And that was even for an appetizer size. It'd be great for 2 to 4 people, because it was cut into 6 slices. So
everybody
if you go,
could either have a taste, or you could have a more substantial...
Mm-hmm. More substantial helping of it.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was just an excellent find. Just filled that little bit of homesickness for West Virginia, as I hesitate to say it. Because I didn't really grow up there, but I spent enough time there that sometimes I crave some of that. And it also filled that little tiny bit of homesickness in my heart for Aurelia, when we could step out of our front door when we lived downtown and we could, you know, throw a stone and hit a good restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes me happy to see that coming to Oshawa again. So. Yeah.
And it always warms my heart to see the hometown revitalized.
Exactly. So definitely check it out. If you're going to catch a Generals game or something, maybe go a little early, grab dinner at Stuttering John's. If you're going to be downtown for the weekend for something in the summer, maybe. One of the things he said he wants to do is get his patio permit for the front and be able to start selling. They want to make sausage and sell grilled sausage out front. That'll be awesome in the summer. Go downtown for, you know, Saturday afternoon, walk by, grab a sausage. Can't go wrong with
that. That's going to be amazing.
I know. Very excited to see this. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we're Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
So we're back. We lied. We're really not gone.
That was too short. And we went back anyways. I couldn't stay away. I had to go back the next day and try the brisket, and it was delicious.
And she thoughtfully brought some of the brisket home for me to try, and indeed, it was amazing.
Well, you know, I overspent on lunch, underspent on sake, so I figured I should at least share.
So we're a little late in our episodes because we had planned to have a sake episode up. Life got rearranged a little bit. We hope to have that up for you soon.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, though,
with a guest, special guest.
Special guest star. Stay tuned. But we thought we'd add a little bit more to the end of this one in the way of some new alcohol that we've tried, some new spirits. It's not necessarily new on the market, but it's new to us. And anytime we could talk about a scotch and a gin and give some people some information about whether or not it's worth the money, I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely. As you may know, if you've listened to our past shows, we're big scotch fans. I also am a big gin fan, too. There's this whole story. I got it in my head. I needed to try it. I did. The rest has been history. Loving history.
Literally woke up one day and said, I need a gin and tonic. You don't like gin. No, I think I do now. You haven't had any lately. No, but I think I like it. Let's go buy some. And we did, and she loved it.
And it was amazing.
And you converted me to the gin and tonic, too. So.
Right. So the first thing that we have to talk about is, I've been eyeing this on the shelves, and maybe you have, too, at the local LCBO. It's usually in the vintages section, and it looks, for all intents and purposes, like the name of this scotch is Tea Bag. It's capital T, E with an accent, a capital B, H, E, A, G. It looks like Tea Bag, but it's actually pronounced
Chevek.
Chevek. Okay, so this bills itself as a Gaelic whiskey, and it's doing so because it is a unchilled filtered. If you remember our Scotch episode with the Robbie Burns stuff, you'll know that all Scotch whiskeys are actually chill filtered, and this is a blended whiskey. It actually hasn't been filtered with the cold.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, by the way, matured in sherry casks, so it kind of has that kind of sweet sherry flavor to it.
Yeah, like that one Macallan.
Mm-hmm. And it's a combination of Speyside and West Coast malts, so it is a blended whiskey. However, don't let that stop you. Don't be a Scotch snob.
Good, great Scotch. Don't get me wrong. It's awesome. It's worth every penny. But you're narrowing yourself down. There has to be everyday Scotches.
Mm-hmm.
And for those, you have your blended malts.
Well, and I have to say, Black Grouse really is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it knocks my socks off, but it really impresses me. For the price and what you're getting, it's a darn good scotch.
It's a very serviceable scotch.
Again, for the price and what you're getting is amazing.
It has its place.
And if somebody put this in a glass and told me it was a single malt and told me it was $50 a bottle, I'd still think it was a good deal.
Mm. If they said it was $80, I'd be like, are you sure about
that? Yeah, it's all hype. I'll wait till it drops.
Right.
So anyway, so let's talk about what it tastes like.
Well, it has a really nice caramel scent. We tried it with and without our favorite water additives. Tracy's being ice, mine being water. Send all hate mail to visvifatchicks@gmail.com. But it's nice. It's really balanced. It's got a little bit of peat, a little bit of seaweed, a little bit of caramel, but they're all really balanced. None of those three flavors really take over each other.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have much burn to it. I'm not going to lie and say there's no burn at all. If you hate hard liquor, you'll love it. I lie.
It's pretty smooth.
But it is smooth. It's not overly in your face with the peat, but there's still that peaty back tone to it on the finish, and I love
it's
that.
It's a note.
Yeah.
It's not a orchestra of peat.
Well, when I smelled it, I was like, it smells like boozy dessert.
Yeah.
Because it kind of has that kind of sweet, boozy smell when you first whiff it.
Yeah, I came in and I said, oh, that actually smells kind of like Irish Mist, the favorite Irish whiskey and honey concoction of a lot of people.
Yeah. I dig it. And it was $35 a bottle. It's really good deal.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's a really good deal for what you're paying.
It's in the vintages section at the LCBO. Just ask for it. It should be around. I've seen it in a bunch of different stores, so...
And I really want to defend my choice of ice right now. With blended, I almost prefer ice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I sip it really slow. If it's kind of a relaxing, kicking back after a hard day at work kind of drink. And if I'm sipping it slow, the ice melts. It comes to temperature pretty fast. But everything I drink, I like chilled. If it's not flaming hot, I want it cold.
Mm.
The only exception to that is some stouts. I'm okay with them being English room temperature, and even then they're slightly chilled.
Yeah.
So that's a personal preference for me. And you can go on and on about, you know, it's numbing your taste buds and you can't taste anything. My taste buds are not as delicate as Sheila's, so trust me, I'm not missing anything. I did give it a shot without the ice, just throw some water in it. It's amazing, but my preference is when I'm kicking back with a glass, throw two cubes in and go. Or whiskey rocks if it's a single malt.
No, I mean, I'm a big fan of drink it how you like it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the person to say, oh, you're doing it wrong. Chevec, looks like tea bag, great value for the money, decent blended scotch. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. The other thing that we have to talk about today is Bulldog Gin. It's a product of England. And this we saw in the gin section a while ago. And it was almost as expensive as the Victoria.
It was like at the upper 30s. 35 to 38.
No, it must have broken 40 because I was like, I'm not going to pay that.
Well, the last time I saw a price for it that wasn't on sale, it was in the upper 30s. So maybe it dropped. But when we bought it, they had it off.
$11 off.
Yeah, it was $10 off. It ended up being $23 a bottle. With that in mind, this is a killer $23 bottle of gin.
Mm. It's nice. It's got all those botanicals. It's a little bit floral. Mm-hmm. It makes a great gin and tonic. Drinking it straight up, it's a little bit too hot for that. But that's not really what it was meant for. It's a cocktail gin. It's not a single malt gin, if you will, to throw those air quotes up there.
Not like Victoria, where you could sit back with a glass of that with maybe a dash of bitters in it and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably martini it up with it, but I definitely want a healthy dose of lemon.
Yeah.
And I'm a heretic. I don't like olive martinis. I do like my martinis with a lemon or lime twist with a little bit of the juice thrown in. And I like them wet. I don't like them dry.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that in mind, it's more like a cocktail to begin with, what it was meant to be.
Right.
So that would probably be a pretty good martini. We still haven't thrown it in a martini glass with the appropriate additives yet. Going to get to it probably this week or next.
Yeah. But pretty for the new and improved price, good deal. Even for the old price, I was like, because it's only a 750 milliliter bottle.
Well, I would go up to about 28-30 to it. But really much further than that, you can get a bottle of Bombay Sapphire.
Bombay Sapphire, in Gordon's.
As far as my, you know, go-to upper end of the middle of the road, you know you're going to get a great bottle of gin that's versatile that you could drink straight if you really wanted to, which I wouldn't, but you would.
Mm.
You can do a good martini. You can do a good gin and tonic. You can add it into any mixed drink, and it's not going to bring the mixed drink down. Bombay Sapphire is my go-to.
Yeah, that is the bar
by
which most people measure their gins.
No, Victoria Gin, to me, is heads and shoulders above that, but that's also a $50 gin.
Mm-hmm. It's a small craft gin,
it's too. Like the single malts of gin.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to buy that and mix it and do all these other things with it. I'm going to do a really hardcore gin and tonic with really good tonic water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a martini with it. I'm not going to throw that into a Long Island or something.
I'm
going to
drink it on the rocks.
Yeah, I know, you would. But this Bulldog is what it is. What it was previously priced when we first saw it in the upper 30s to low 40s, it was overpriced. Now that it's dropped, at what we got it for, totally a steal.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't go over 30 with it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So,
but it's, you know, really, it did make a good gin and tonic. I like it better than a Tanqueray.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Tanqueray fan either, so, you know.
We have to try the Tanqueray number 3 or whatever it is. Was it Key number 3? I can't remember what it's called.
That's
it's supposed to be the gourmet Tanqueray.
Yeah, we do need to give that a shot. And we still have to get some Pimm's Cup, too.
Yeah. After watching Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, for those of you who don't watch Boardwalk Empire, there's a scene in there. It's about the rise of the mob in Atlantic City, kind of like some 1920s. Prohibition action. It's an awesome show. Is it HBO?
Yeah.
It's an HBO show. It's an awesome show. And there's this one scene where the one guy couldn't get some Pimm's Cup, which it's a type of liqueur.
It's like, it's an herbal kind of, it's almost like it's an herbed wine.
Yeah.
But you usually add it to other things. Like they use, was the, Pimm's Cup and champagne mixed together, and it makes a golden cup or whatever.
It's a spirit. It's higher alcohol content than wine.
Yeah.
But it's more like a schnapps, but it's not a schnapps. It's like, I think of an equivalent of it.
It's like the 1920s Jaeger, but...
It's like 1920s Jaeger had a baby with vermouth.
Yeah.
And that's Pimm's Cup. And there's all these different types of it you can get, and you can make these awesome drinks with it. And Sheila and I have been obsessed with it, but it's one of those things that's never been a priority when we go to the LCBO to buy it.
Yeah.
But we really need to pick it up and try some Pimm's Cup mixed drinks, because I don't know why. I think Bulldog and I think Pimm's Cup.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and when we first heard them say it, we thought they were saying pimp cup.
Yeah, we're like, that's awesome.
I'm like, oh my god, they called it a pimp cup? That's amazing. I want to try that drink.
Oh, but to go back to the derail, the guy couldn't get any pimp's cup because they didn't have it where he was. So the main character ended up sending like a case of it to his office, and he was a senator or something. Kind of like a, hey, here's your pimp's cup kind of thing. You know, a bribe, so to speak, because it was the Prohibition. So it's an old school beverage. It's been around for a very, very long time. I want to say it's almost like, I want to say it's the English version of Jaeger. Is it English, though?
I'm not sure.
It sounds English.
It does.
So, but don't trust us on that, because you know we're full of faulty information.
And alcohol.
We're not full of that much alcohol. Not yet, however. Anything else you wanted to add there?
I don't think so.
All right, so look forward to the sake episode, a couple other surprise episodes coming up, maybe something about candy soon. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we're SVI Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this SVI Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. You can email your comments, questions, or suggestions to svifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends. Please make sure that credit is given. Thanks for listening and have a great day.